I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world below. Lord, I swear there's no pain, I know there's no danger in that bright world to which I go.
Welcome to this podcast from Faith Bible Church in Reno, Nevada. Faith Bible Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-teaching ministry dedicated to bringing the good news of the gospel to the whole world. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And now, for this week's message from Pastor Alan Battle.
Our scripture reading today is Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is the word of God. So last week we saw how trust in God will keep us from being shaken or moved away from our purpose. That Hebrew word is interesting. It doesn't just mean moved or jostled. It means to lose control with the result of falling. Like a building that goes to pieces in an earthquake. Or a vehicle that begins swerving before it flips over. Or like this guy who thought he needed some more beer. Whoa, whoa, boom! I wonder if he drank that 12-pack he was trying to purchase. So we saw how those who trust in God can avoid being shaken. But what if we do lose our balance? What if our life has been turned upside down and we are upended like a beetle on his back who is struggling to get on his feet? What if it feels like God has abandoned us? Psalm 13 deals with such feelings. For the last 2 weeks, we looked at Psalms of Trust. This week, I'm introducing a new genre, Psalms of Lament. Lament Psalms are those in which the psalmist is in trouble and is complaining to God. 59 of the 150 Psalms are laments. So we would do well to get acquainted with their features. Laments have a more or less standard form. They begin with an appeal to God, like, incline your ear to me, O Lord. And then there is the lament, an articulation of the trouble that he's going through, like, I'm weary with moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. And then there's usually a confession of trust, like, those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And then comes the petition for help. Like, deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. And then, usually some reasons why God should grant this request. Like, then I will teach transgressors your ways. And finally, either a praise or a promise of praise when it's over. Like, I will give to the Lord thanks, the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. And there are two types of laments in the book of Psalms: community laments and individual laments. And they're easy to distinguish because individual laments use I and community laments use we. Pretty simple. Today, we're going to go to a psalm of individual lament, a psalm of David. There's one more organizing feature of a lament that you need to know. There are three subjects in a lament: I, you, and they. The I is the lamenter himself. I am in trouble. The you is God. And you, God, don't care. And the they is the enemy. They are winning. So those are the basics of the genre. They'll help you as you read through this type of psalm. But before we move into Psalm 13, I have to tell you a related story. Though laments are far from funny, my wife Gina and I have a funny story about a lament. Back when we first started the Bible college, spouses were allowed to take classes for free. So Gina took a class on the Psalms that our pastor, Dan Frank, happened to be teaching. He gave the class an assignment to write their own lament psalm. So, knowing that Dan was not much of a music fan, we thought we could pull a practical joke on him. We printed out the lyrics to a Janis Joplin song, Mercedes-Benz, and submitted it to him. You remember the song? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Well, I was right. Dan did not recognize it and praised Gina for her great work. And then she told him the truth and handed in the real assignment. But we're not talking about lamenting over a perceived lack of social status today. In today's psalm, we find King David in a serious situation. He is in a state of utter despair. He's in trouble and he feels like God has forgotten him. When were you in the greatest pain that you ever experienced? Did you feel like God had forgotten you? This psalm is a record of one of those times in the life of David. It is an impassioned cry. I imagine David penning this with sobs and tears falling on the paper. It has three simple and distinct parts of two verses each: the complaint, the petition, and the praise. Although each movement is only two verses, they pack a lot of emotion in them. Let's read the first section. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Four times he asked the Lord, how long? He's not just crying out to an empty void. He's addressing Yahweh. At the core of his being, he knows who God is and that he is sovereign. When you're suffering, in the midst of that suffering, it seems like it's never going to end. So he asks, how long? But this is not a rational attempt to understand. It is an agonized cry for deliverance. The Psalms tell it like it is. They never sugarcoat the human experience. And this is so basically human. David's cries are like the cries of a distraught toddler screaming at his mother, you don't care. And when David asks how long, I don't believe he really wants to know how many days and hours this is going to last. Any more than a grieving mother wants answers when she's screaming and crying to God, why, God, why did my child have to die? Would an explanation from God help in either situation? No, the grieving process has to play itself out. So, David is in pain, but what is the source of his pain? We don't get to that until the fourth how long. It's because his enemy is winning. And David is not used to losing. Remember, he was one of the most successful military leaders that Israel ever had. The Jews controlled more territory under David and Solomon than any other time in history. But now he is up against an enemy that he cannot beat. We don't know who that enemy was or even what that enemy was. This is poetry, after all. His enemy may have been what the Apostle Paul calls the final enemy, death. Or maybe it was the fear of impending death from either Saul or his son Absalom, neither of which David wanted to kill. Imagine the torment that this must have caused him if it was one of those two. Both Saul and Absalom wanted him dead, yet David loved them. Whether it was impending death from an illness or from an enemy, he is afraid that he's about to die. And this is not something that he can just shelve and get on with his day. Verse 2 says that he takes counsel in his soul all day long. And the New King James Version says daily. Either way, it is continual and unavoidable. And it's not just worry, it is deep sorrow. He's constantly trying to figure a way out of his predicament, but there's no way out. He's like a caged, trapped animal pacing back and forth. The first two how longs show us that David thought the enemy was winning because God didn't care. God had forgotten him or was deliberately hiding from him. And it wasn't that he had sinned. David's not repenting here. He's in anguish because the deliverance that he expects as a child of God is not coming. And this belief only added to his pain. Now, after the complaint comes, the petition. It is ironic that he says that God is ignoring him, yet he's talking to God, fully expecting God to hear him. Verse 3. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. David's next move is to insist that God listen to him. Consider me, he says. Answer me. Again, he addresses Yahweh, his God. He knows that he is the only one who can help. This is the classic format of a lament psalm. First the scream, listen to me. Then the petition, save me. And we have here the image of David being plunged into darkness and drawing near to death. He cries out for light. It is God's light that brings life. David did not know it yet, but Jesus Christ is that light. The Apostle John makes this point clear in the prologue of his gospel. Concerning Jesus, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Life comes from only one source. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Only he can truly rescue us. It is only he who gives us eternal life. So David says that unless God brings light into the situation, he will die. Is he being overly dramatic here? Sometimes we exaggerate when we're in distress. We see this in little children when they're not happy. But adults do it too. And maybe you remember this guy.
I've never had pains like this before. Oh, this is the worst one I ever had, son. Oh, it's the worst one. This is a big one. I'm dying. You hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey. Oh. Maybe that's Elizabeth.
Fred Sanford was always dying. But I don't think that David is exaggerating here. David was well acquainted with death. He was a warrior. He fought a lot of battles and had seen many a life drain away in the hot Palestinian sun. David perceives that his end is near if God does not show up. And then he offers the reason that God needs to answer his prayer. It's because his enemy will talk trash if he wins. He'll spike the ball in the end zone. He'll gloat to the media. It is not explicit in this passage, but I'm sure that David is concerned for God's reputation here. David has been jealous for God's reputation since he was a teenager. That's why he took on Goliath. Remember when he said this? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? This is a good reason for God to hear his prayer. The Jews were to be a light to the nations. If Yahweh fails, how is he any different than the dozens of rivals in the surrounding nations? So, having asked for help, David has a sudden and dramatic change of heart in part 3. Verse 5. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Here are the trust and the praise parts of this lament. Suddenly God answers David's prayer. He has enlightened his eyes. David could now see the character of God. You see, it wasn't God who forgot. It was David who forgot. David has now been reminded and reassured of one of the most prominent themes throughout the Psalms. That is the theme of God's steadfast love. That word is also translated as loving kindness and loyal love. It is the Hebrew word hesed. It is God's covenant love. And why is this so important? Because this is the kind of love that never forgets. There came a time in the life of the nation of Israel that an entire generation felt abandoned by God. They had been exiled. One of the Psalms captures the pathos of their plight. Psalm 137, beginning in verse 1. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres. For there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And Isaiah records their feelings in Isaiah 49:14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. But God has an answer for them. Look at his response in the next line. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Let me ask you, mothers, would it be possible for you to forget any of your children? Not unless you had some traumatic brain injury or disease. We're used to the idea that fathers might neglect or abandon their children, but when a woman does it, we're appalled. God has built this kind of love into mothers. But God says that even if a mother could forget her child, he will never forget his people. This is the loyal love of God. You can be assured this morning, no matter how you are feeling, God never forgets his children. So, I want to leave you with two applications as we wrap this up this morning. The first seems like a big duh, but it can easily be forgotten in our pain. It is this. When you're in trouble, pray. David asked and he received. Even though his faith was weak, and he was not sure that God was listening, he still called out to him, and his dim eyes were enlightened. And don't stop at prayer. Read your Bible. The Psalms are one of the best places to go when you're in trouble. You will find comfort there. And second, don't be surprised by suffering. We all go through suffering, but suffering will result in good things. Sometimes we must go through the dark night of suffering in order to remember his steadfast love. Jesus told us to take up our cross and follow him. That cross represents suffering. In this, we are following the example of Christ. Look at Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 9. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Jesus offered up prayers with loud cries. This sounds an awful lot like David here in our psalm. This is the normal Christian life. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." I'm not quoting these verses as a way of saying, just stop whining. You knew this was going to happen. No, if you come to me in the middle of a tragedy, I'm not going to quote verses to you. I'm going to listen to you and cry with you and let you scream how long and why as many times as you need to. No, I cite these verses today to lay a strong foundation of truth in your soul. The deeper and the stronger that foundation is, the less you will be shaken and the sooner you'll be able to get back up. And the greater will be your faith and your confidence in God. And we will see his glory revealed in us and to us, because we know that he will never forget us. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you are with us through the darkness. And Lord, that you will enlighten our eyes when we come to those times when we just can't see. Father, thank you that your love is steadfast, that you are immovable, that you will constantly keep us in your care and under your protection. So, Lord, we praise you that you are with us in the midst, and you will deliver us eventually into the peace and the glory that you promised to your children. So we give you all the praise and all the honor today in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching of God's Word from Faith Bible Church in Reno, Nevada. We hope that it has been an encouragement to you and that the Word of God will fill your hearts and minds as you walk through this world. If you have been blessed by this ministry and would like to make a small donation to help defray the cost of this podcast, just click on the green Support Us button at the top of the webpage. Thank you.